This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning. Look at us. Like clockwork. Because you know what? We have a clock.
Ah!
And it works.
And it works. Ha! All right. Lots of things happening this morning. The one thing that won't be happening this morning, Gord Laws. Yes.
He'll be in on the 2004th.
Yes.
Of October.
Yes. On a Froms Day.
On a Froms Day at 28 o'clock.
That's right. That's when we next expect to see him. October.
Fat people just don't wake up early. I don't know why.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, no, no, you're not. No, Gord's on a new level, Leanne. Come on, if you're feeling a little bit overweight, don't you panic. Gord's in a different universe of that. So, all right, they're not going to rip on him all morning, even though I'd like to.
No.
Hey, listen, can I tell you about someone really inspiring? I know that Gugu has no idea who this is, but Kate Turkington, who's an author, broadcaster, an award-winning travel writer.
We've had her on the show many times.
She's turning 85 this year, and she's having a big birthday party. Mm. She doesn't let it go by, huh? I mean, I went to her birthday last year, and she had, I don't know, 50 people around. Big celebration. Both of her daughters gave a little speech. 85 years old, and Kate Turkington just keeps on steaming ahead.
She was born in 1934.
That's amazing, right? And she doesn't there's no break there. There's just accelerator. I like it. See, 85. If you can get to 85 years old, you can be as vital as that woman is.
Oh,
she's
goodness.
Got her website. She's still blogging. Her last blog was on the 22nd of last month.
She's amazing.
Tracking is in my blood, it was called.
No, she really is amazing. She does all this travel. Goes to the most interesting places in the world. She's met everyone she's ever wanted to meet.
Wow.
I mean, what a full life. She said goodbye to two husbands and at least three lovers.
Wonder what happened to them.
Well, they died, Gugu. She's 85.
Did they just wake up dead?
Today we're launching a new prize on the show, and it's going to Gugu is here, we're launching a new prize. The prize is going to be for the dumbest shit said this morning, please. And Gugu's won for the last 3 days in a row.
Can we just analyze his sentence? He said, did they wake up dead? Those words came out of your mouth.
Oh, so you're analyzing sentences now?
Yes,
you're that,
of
you're
course.
That person.
You know what? We talk for a living.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I'm losing brain cells talking to him.
Look at him. Genius.
Well, yes, compared to your stupid line, he is a genius. And that's not hard. When the standard is fucking low. But I bring you in here because you're learning.
You paint me out with such a shit brush.
You know what? You can't be a victim. If you're going to be a victim, there's no space in the studio then. You can go to that other room.
Just use like
stand up for yourself.
Red or yellow paint or something.
Stand up for yourself or I'll put the dunce hat on you.
Who's that?
Okay, a dunce hat is a thing that people wear, or they used to wear back in the days when school was really mean. And the dumbest kid in the class would have to wear a big pointy hat like a witch with a big D on it. A dunce hat. Look it up. Google. You should use Google.
Google
aren't that far apart, and you've got a computer.
Just a connection.
Look up dunce hat. See what you can find for us.
No, the husbands do not wake up dead, Google.
No.
What do they do?
No one wakes up dead. If you wake up, you're not dead. Yeah. And if you don't wake up, you are
you
dead.
You are dead.
It's kind of the two, what you call mutually non-overlapping magisteria.
Just carry on looking up dunce.
Yeah.
All right. So here, just to prove my point, there's always someone cleverer than me. There's always someone cleverer than Leanne, Gugu, Sia, and anyone else here. So this is brilliant. This has just come through from someone who quite rightly points out. This is Neil. Let me give him credit. Neil says, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's profound.
Yeah, it is. So you know how sometimes even really, really awful people do something good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes really, really stupid people say something clever. Sometimes someone who is normally very schnorrer and miserly is generous. That doesn't mean that that's their character.
Mm.
Don't be misled by the outlying facts. Stick to the inside of the argument. Anyway, the point is about Kate Turkington. She's fantastic. And to get to 85, I mean, I am hell-bent on the idea that I want to live forever, right? I've said this a million times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find every way I can. I'm going to take handfuls of vitamins. I'm going to try to live as long as possible. But if I can live to 85 as well as she has, and she's healthy and she's vital and she's got grandchildren, I think she's even got great-grandchildren on the way.
I wouldn't be surprised.
If they aren't there already. I can't immediately remember, but wow. You know? Just fantastic.
Mm.
85. If you got to 85 in the Middle Ages, it was a miracle. You were considered a saint. Ooh. Just for living that long.
Yeah, they would have made you king.
This person is clearly very, very clever and very smart and very lucky. So
hail he,
yeah.
The one who survived scurvy, ruler of this land.
Oh, do you know how you fight scurvy?
With oranges.
Yes.
No, I did not know that.
Yes. The reason people used to get scurvy on ships is because they didn't have any fresh fruit, vitamin C. So if you eat oranges or pineapple or...
Even apples.
Lemons. Yeah. All of that stuff stops the scurvy in its tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's something about the reflecting back on the years and chapters a person has lived through to really understand how full of a life they have. You know, if you're born in the 30s.
I know.
Over the weekend, I was spending time with my grandmother, who's turning 87.
See? Now, I mean, she must have stories.
Goodness.
So Kate used to tell me about how, you know, during the war, we were evacuated from London and sent out to the country houses.
She's old.
During the war, the Second World War. Oh, my God. All right. So yes. There's someone inspiring. And we've got someone else who's inspiring coming in later on. Someone called Sam Stewart, who I think you're going to be interested to talk to. Now, listen to this. Sam has survived breast cancer, an abusive marriage, financial ruin, failed suicide attempts, and body dysmorphia, and she's still standing tall.
Yeah.
So she's had a hell of a life. Sure. And if you can, and don't think that this is going to be some depressing interview where we, you know, commiserate together and cry. She's very inspiring. She's a speaker.
I'm like only one notch behind her.
Yeah, well, let's go through yours.
Oh, Leanne, yeah, no.
I mean, but you're here every morning, so we kind of, you know, we take you for granted.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what we got planned later on. There's lots of good stuff coming up today. We've got some news. Let me think. What else is there?
We got some news.
Did I mention?
I've got some news.
No.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say that I was definitely convinced that we would have news.
You know, we've got everything and news.
And news, yes. So you'll find out everything.
I also think we do need to keep updated. So
we'll
we should
probably
discuss some news.
Yeah, we'll probably wedge some news in there as well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's busy, you know?
Ooh, what a full show.
What's going on?
Don't even know where to begin.
Yesterday.
Let's start with the news.
Yesterday. Yesterday, Gugu sent me something. This is quite funny. It's someone swearing on air. Do you want to hear this? I always love this stuff. So.
On a radio show?
It's on a television show.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what happens, is this person is busy doing a report. I think it's during the news. News.
No. More news.
Yeah, so listen to this quickly. So
more teens are having luck, rather.
No, but just a biting.
More teens are having fuck. Why is it this stuff amuses me so much when people swear on air? All right, here's some more. Listen.
Having luck, rather.
No, but just a biting, granular, kind of slutty, excuse me, slushy, icy snow.
This whole bullshit, excuse me, the whole thing about...
There's one plucky little boy. That was David Stevenson reporting.
Mostly it's swear words, so that's a little bit.
Well, if you say it with an accent like that, they won't swear words.
I want people to buy me fucking
Tom Hanks on Good Morning America. I mean, Tom Hanks has never put a foot wrong in his life.
Yeah.
He's woody, like for God's sakes.
Yeah. I do love that stuff. News anchors are always trying to be so serious, and they want us to take them so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's bound to happen if you are on air for such long stretches of time. The other day, because heaven only knows, I wouldn't watch this by choice, but I had my flatmate's boyfriend over, and he was watching some sport. And, you know, sports has this like build up and they commentate on this and they're waiting for the track to dry and they're waiting for the teams to roll up, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It was like a good 3 hour stretch of time before the actual sporting event started. And these people had to walk in the rain and they had, to, you could tell they were just buying up time. They're like, okay, what can we talk about now? And, oh, well, Rob, the crowds are going right now.
But you hear a lot of this on TV because obviously when they cover a live event, and I remember the last time that I saw them grasping for something to talk about was at the ANC convention last year or the year before even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Cyril was elected.
Oh, when you've got like commentators.
Mm.
I feel so bad for them.
And they stand around there and then there's obviously a guest lined up and the guest cancels mm-hmm. or disappears and then they're stuck there and they've got the microphone and the camera's on them and they've got this bewildered look on their face like, oh shit, what's happening?
People speaking in their ear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go, I'm just getting, cause someone's going, 15 minutes. What? I've got a pad for 15 minutes?
Yep.
And they go, I'm just getting information now that, that Halema Motlanthe has arrived.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that's fantastic. I'm so glad he's arrived. I wouldn't have been able to start my day without knowing that he'd arrived. You're clearly informing me. This is great. This is news.
I felt bad for the news reporters who had to cover our recent inauguration live.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
there was a stretch of time where you could tell something went wrong in the background. Because I was watching it on SABC, so it was Peter Ndora and another lady.
Peter Ndora. Ndora. Peter Ndora. Yes. So Peter Ndora. And we're going to cross live now to the presidential inauguration at the Union Buildings. Over there now, we've got Leanne Manis. Hi, Leanne.
But also...
How are you? I'm live at the Union Buildings. And I could see there's a big burly man. Oh, no, that's a mirror.
Oh, my God. But also, Pete and Doro can't give bad news.
No.
Because he's just got a smiley face.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven people have been killed in a car accident.
There's been a horrific and tragic, horrible, sounds nasty like a 17 magnitude earthquake. It's just buried the whole Indian subcontinent under piles and piles of rubble.
Shame. So he had to pad, and I could tell he was struggling so much. When they ended up examining the carpet, there was a white carpet instead of a red carpet.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they took, I'm not even exaggerating, a good 15 minutes on that because they were trying to make up time going, well, isn't this amazing? A white carpet. The symbolism. I'm like, no, we are not doing this right now. That's when I switched channels. I don't envy them at all, so.
All right, here's a criticism for me this morning, and I'm always open to this stuff.
Oh, yeah?
This one from Olani, who says, Gareth, on your show on Monday, you accused those of criticizing Trump for not calling the mass murderers, using it as a political ball, yet you criticized Obama for not calling the victims in Sri Lanka Christians. Now, I remember both of these stories. I mean, I remember what we said on Monday, but I can remember that whole situation. I think the question here is, I have no problem with him calling it out, and Trump has been very clear about saying that he doesn't have any time for the evil people who are white supremacists. Now, this should almost go without saying. In a world where clearly, I mean, there can't be that many white supremacists left in the world. I haven't encountered one for a long time. Have you? You bumped into one on the street? Heil Hitler? Do you see them around?
No, I don't really socialize with the KKK.
But it also doesn't tend to be a popular position if you're in civilized society, right? So it would seem obvious to me that any sensible, thinking, decent person would be someone who doesn't support white supremacy. It's a bad idea. It's produced nothing but ugliness and death in its wake. It is completely beyond the pale. And I don't understand why it seems controversial that when the President of the United States says, we do not like these white supremacists, they're very bad people, they're evil, and this is what he said. You can go and look it up, and look up what his comments were on the El Paso shooting last week, right? This is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Not good enough for some people. They're like, well, he says that, but he doesn't really mean it, you know. Now, when
he didn't use the word terrorist, that's why.
No, he didn't use the word, but but neither did Obama say that the victims of that terror attack in Sri Lanka were Christians. So you make my point for me, Olani, that these both sides of the political spectrum, not just the leaders, but the both arguments on the political spectrum are from the point of view of their political ideology. And this is what disturbs me so much. It isn't actually about the shooter or about white supremacy in El Paso or in Dayton, about leftist communist ideology, because the two shooters both had these wacky ideas on either end of the spectrum. The problem is we're not talking about the victims, and we're not being sympathetic to those victims. We're immediately looking for a narrative that will help our side of the political argument, and I find that distasteful. And what I find even more distasteful is the way that people on either side try to characterize everyone as being supportive of that shooter in each case. So let's say, for example, you're in the leftist camp and this El Paso shooting takes place. Then what you do is you use the shooting to say everyone who's conservative is a white supremacist and a violent person and they hate immigrants and they shouldn't have guns.
You can't lump all of those things together.
It's putting through four things that are not related into the same basket and saying, that's how it is.
Mm.
And in the case of this, the leftist who shot a whole bunch of people in Dayton, Ohio, the right wing are saying, you see, these crazy lunatic progressives, these mad postmodernists on the far left, these are the people who definitely have a problem with violence. They're the ones who need to be locked up. They're all mentally ill. They're all dangerous. Both arguments are ridiculous, because what you end up doing is you develop this big, unwieldy, horrible, blunt club with which to smash everybody. And it's completely wrong. It's just wrong. No one supports people shooting other people. I don't know if I've ever met anyone who goes, yeah, you know, I think it's great that that guy went into that village and shut up all those old people in the marketplace. Never.
Unnatural.
I have never met someone who would have had the balls to say that in my presence and not had a massive argument with them or completely cut them out of my life. And I don't think it has ever happened, because I haven't had to cut someone out of my life for that.
Mm.
So why are we even discussing this? Why is it controversial? Well, to me, it's controversial because it's being used for political ends. And I think that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for all of them. So thank you for the message, Olani. And then morning, peeps, is it Leanne and Gord Wednesday? No, as I explained a little earlier, Miguel, it is just Leanne Wednesday because Gord is busy. He says he's working hard and he was up until God knows what time.
And he calls them clunts. He's working for clunts.
Sure. Yeah, he means clients and
Okay, I've got it now.
Okay. So a few days ago, here's another message that we've just got now before we get to news. This is from Robin. She says, a few days ago, you were talking about Mercury retrograde and the effect that it has on us.
Yes.
The actual retrograde is where Mercury looks like it's traveling backwards for part of its orbit, which is just a reference frame illusion caused by multiple orbiting and spinning planets. I decided to do the maths of how much effect Mercury's gravity has on us. There's a fairly simple equation, and she gives me the equation. The answer is 30 billionths of a kilogram on an 80-kilogram person, the same force as two 80-kilogram people walking 1.2 meters past each other. So she says that's total bullshit.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I've never really bought into that.
I like the maths, I've got to say. Big ups on the maths. She figured out what the gravity of Mercury, what the effect of that is on our human bodies.
Very clever.
Amazing. Sure.
What calculator did you have to use for that?
Well, she's got a formula. Do you want to hear what the formula is?
Will it make my head hurt?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's see.
Here it is. Let me just find this thing. She says it is F equals, in brackets, G times M1 times M2. I think she means that's the mass of the Earth and the mass of the body and the mass of Mercury.
Of course, yes. I knew that.
Over R, the square root of 2. You've got to explain that formula. See, is clearly interested. Everyone else has fallen asleep.
Yeah, it's just gravity equals mass 1 and the square root.
All right, you want to get to news?
Yeah, bro.
All right, so a few stories in the news. Horrible situation. 72 children have been injured in a school bus crash in Underberg in KZN. They were traveling on a dirt road on the R617 near Centercow. I've never heard of that place. Have you?
Mm-mm. I don't think so, no.
No. Two children are in a critical condition in hospital. The cause of the crash is unknown, and authorities are investigating. There's a picture of the bus, and it's basically turned over onto its side.
Oh, man.
But this doesn't look like a great road, I've got to say. It's a very rough dirt road. So wherever Centercow is, if you live there, move. Shit road.
Centercow, move.
Are you chuffed about that?
Oh, line? Did I say that aloud? Sorry, yeah. That's what goes on in my head.
That's what she hears in her head.
All the time.
While the rest of us are talking. SASBO, do you know who they are? The South African Society of Bank Officials.
Right.
Says, if banks do not consider their plans of retrenching workers, they will shut down all banks. The union, it's a union, okay, claims three major banks are not willing to back down from their plans to cut jobs. SASBO's Joe Kokela said there would be a two-day walkout from next month. People are earning up to 98 million rand in bonuses, while 163,000 people who work in banks don't even earn 163,000 rand per annum. All right, listen. I'm terribly sorry to point this out to you, Joe Kokela, but the economy is not growing, and if a bank had enough business to sustain 1,000 workers 2 years ago, they now do not have enough business to sustain those 1,000 workers. So you may have some idea that jobs are only there to provide people with income, but actually jobs are there to make the business work. That is why they pay people. That is how people get their income. So your origin for this problem is wrong. You don't understand economics. So unionists should get around a table and they should listen to a simple maths equation about supply and demand, and they'll understand how in an economy like South Africa's, which is shrinking, unemployment is growing. This is not a complex thing to understand. And unions look at this and they go, well, we're not going to let anyone get fired. But then the business, if it doesn't fire those people, will go under and everyone will lose their jobs. Is that better? Because those are the options. Mm. I don't know how you think it works, but it's not like the CEO of a bank goes into a room and goes, right, it's time to fire those workers. It's time to just be mean. No, he goes into a room, he looks at the balance sheet, and he goes, we're paying 10,000 people, and we can do the business that we're doing because there's less of it with 5,000 people, so half of them have to go. That's how I will keep this bank alive. That's how we will stay in business. Because if you don't want to stay in business, you could be like African Bank or like that vendor bank that Floyd Shivambu got paid
off. VBS.
So go ahead and do that, Joe, and maybe you'll understand how these things work. And as for the bonuses that bosses pay themselves, and remember, the board pays them, so it's technically not them just cutting themselves a check. No one can do that. What happens there is this. If you run the place properly by, for example, getting rid of half of the workforce because you can't use them anymore, then some of the money that you save gets apportioned to the people who are still there. And guess who gets the lion's share of that? The person who's made it work, who's helped the business survive through tough economic times. But you wouldn't understand this, Joe, because you probably never made a job for someone else. You've probably only ever worked in an organization like a trade union, where it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you are cleverer than the other people and you can outpace them to keep your job as the trade union secretary, you don't have to worry. And you get money from your members. So you extract cash from them. Maybe you should stop charging your members fees for being part of your union if you care about their earnings so much. How about that?
Yeah.
Because maybe you're paying yourself for just talking shit. It certainly doesn't seem like you're talking sense.
Mm.
And this, by the way, goes for all unions. You can copy and paste my exact argument for all of them. South African civil rights unions, the mine workers union, the metal workers union. Just copy and paste the whole thing. Because if you guys don't understand economics, there's nothing we can do for you. You will find yourself on the bones of your ass at some point. And it won't be anyone's fault but your own.
As the head of the Cliff Central Workers Union, I take this personally.
That's right.
I'll and you know bring what, this up at our meeting.
We got to cut some jabs by the end of this week.
Jabs.
South Africa's state power utility, Eskom, urgently needs a turnaround plan as its capital structure is unsustainable, credit ratings agency Moody said on Tuesday in a report which sent the rand to a two-month low. Eskom is the big, ugly monster in the room when you go to sleep at night. Mm. and we will not be able to solve this.
No, it's going to be there for a very long time.
Eskom reported
forever.
Eskom reported last week a 20.7 billion rand annual loss.
How do you lose that much money?
Because you owe more money than you have. Mm. First of all, you're not bringing in any income because people are using less electricity because the economy is in decline. Mm. People are stealing electricity. Municipalities haven't paid Eskom in years. There is no maintenance that has been done on any of the power plants. None. Zero maintenance. Now, this is just unbelievable to me. It's like someone who moves into a house and the house starts to fall apart around them and they don't do anything to stop it. Someone who has like filthy light switches and they never make sure that the geyser isn't leaking and they never check on the plumbing and the electricity and their
Everything's rusting.
Their house just
gutters are falling down.
The whole place they live in gets worse and worse and worse until they're living in absolute squalor and then they go, but I used to have a house worth 100,000 rand.
Not anymore.
That's right. So Eskom needs urgent maintenance on all of its facilities and on all of its infrastructure. But they've done no maintenance for like 12 years. Now think about what that means. These are electrical power plants. If you don't maintain them, very bad things happen. Who knows what Eskom's management were doing during those years? Because the only reason that they need to spend money is on maintenance and staff. Their staff bill went sky high. Again, there's a bunch of people that need to be fired. And their maintenance bill was zero. So clearly management were taking out a whole lot of money for themselves. And they were not. And remember, this is what happens in state-owned enterprises because they're not run like proper businesses. Now we're stuck with this mess.
Sure.
So apparently the company's operational and financial performance has deteriorated, indicating the extent of the challenges facing Eskom in meeting its debt obligations, absent of government support. The current capital structure is not sustainable, indicating a strong and urgent need for a longer-term strategic turnaround plan. Ultimately, they need a bailout. Now, who has 200-odd billion lying around?
Any volunteers?
And in spare cash, you know.
Here's what's going to happen. If they can't find this money, which it's unlikely they'll find. Governments are currently running at a deficit. Taxes are not bringing in as much cash as people thought they would. So the treasury's empty. This government has mismanaged the economy so badly that everything is in the negative. So what's going to happen is the government are going to have to go cap in hand to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund.
Mm.
They'll have to say to them, IMF, please will you help us bail out Eskom? Because if Eskom fails, the whole economy crashes and then we're living in the 13th century. Then it's a fucking disaster.
It's like the apocalypse.
Right. So the IMF will say, okay, no problem, Mr. Ramaphosa and your stupid government. Here's what the rules are. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And we're basically going to take control of your economy from here on in. So you can make decisions and pretend you're a government, but we'll be making the important decisions. In other words, we'll have a proxy government, kind of like we did when FIFA did the 2010 World Cup here. And Sepp Blatter was our real president. Remember when it worked? For a little while, because with someone with some brains in control, well, that's what's going to happen again. And that's not a bad situation. I think it could work out quite nicely for us. So let's go. IMF all the way. They're the only people who can save Eskom. And maybe they can even stop government from doing stupid stuff to hurt the people of South Africa. Wouldn't that be nice? The ANC in KwaZulu-Natal has extended embattled eThekwini Mayor Zandile Gumede's leave of absence. Gumede was placed on leave following a fraud and corruption charges relating to the awarding of a Rand waste tender to the value of 208 million Rand. She's stolen money and they cannot do anything with it. It's suspended. So she's sitting at home, still getting paid. And they have to find another mayor. So now we're paying for two mayors,
mm-hmm.
one of whom is already 208 million Rand or so richer from stealing. Don't we see that this is bad? Paris has downplayed Notre Dame's lead poisoning fears. Apparently, hundreds of tons of lead in the roof and the steeple melted during the 15th of April blaze that nearly destroyed the Gothic masterpiece, releasing lead particles that later settled on surrounding streets and buildings. But officials have downplayed the risk, saying that you don't have to worry. Tests continue to show that even though there are worrying levels of the toxic metal at nearby schools, we've carried out tests on a radius of 500 meters around Notre Dame, and they are negative, meaning there is no danger. That's what the deputy mayor said. I mean, I don't understand why people would be worried about the roof of Notre Dame when there are cars that do not have catalytic converters that are putting lead into the air every single day all over Paris. So this is ridiculous. It's these environmentalist nutcases. By the way, I've got an email from someone who thinks I am a climate change denier.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Very controversial, but we'll get to that later on.
Okay.
I'm not. Let me deny that I am a climate change denier.
Okay, go.
I am not a climate change denier, but I am very skeptical of what has become a quasi-religion around climate change.
I don't know anymore. I don't know what to believe, what not to believe. All I know is, and it was actually my cousin who pointed this out when he was in my car recently. He's like, why do you always have your vents shut? I'm like, mm-mm.
You don't breathe that in?
Nope, not at all. I don't want fresh air anymore.
So how do you drive? Stuffy, on your own.
Call it stuffy, but you won't imagine, get any germs.
I hope you don't have to drive with CA anytime.
I don't
want to drive. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, and farts. And
farts and all that shit and shoes.
Farts and fast food smells there. I'd rather that. But don't you ever drive behind some old skedonk and you just see bellowing with proper smog?
Then I close the vents.
Yeah. Don't have to close the vents. Just hit the
that's what I mean.
Recycling button.
Yeah.
I recycle all of that. I don't want
any someone who actually knows about cars.
But that's what I mean. I don't individually close four vents. I just.
Oh, you're trying to cover up for your duck. Yeah. Okay.
She'll be wearing the hat soon.
Whatevs.
Right. What did you call that hat?
The dunce hat.
Google's just waiting for an opportunity to pass it off to someone.
All right. So that's what we've got for you in the news this morning. Isn't that cool? Let's get to Sid by Sia. Let's see what he's got for us today. Hey, Sia, go ahead.
Well, this is just a simple story, but I think it's so sweet to just show how people can be kind, Nochal, whenever. So there's this road in Durban, the M19, and it's quite notorious for being a road where a lot of protest action happens, a lot of accidents happen on this road.
You said this is near Durban?
In Durban, yes. And a lot of unsavory characters are often found on this road. And so when two random cars spotted a lady who was broken down on this road, they actually stopped to help her until other help came about. It's a simple story, but so sweet. Her name is Carla, and we now actually know about this because she posted on her social media to thank these cars for stopping. She was driving on the M19, and her car was giving her issues, so she had no other option but to stop on the side of the road. And initially, she got panicked when she saw the first car stop by, but she realized it was actually two random inspectors of the SPCA who pulled over to offer assistance to Carla, as well as a gentleman who works for a private security company.
I'm always amused. If the SPCA stops to help you, is it because you look like a shaggy dog? Like, what's the story there?
I was going to say, there's a lesson in this that animal lovers like us help people too sometimes.
You know, not just the animals. Yeah. Hey, they're used to helping, I guess. Right. That's why. And also, as someone who works for a private security company, who stopped, and they were all three men who calmed Carla down and helped her get back on the road as quickly as possible. And Carla was just so thankful for their involvement, asked to take a picture and posted it up on social media, saying, these three men are absolute heroes in my eyes, and they deserve a shout out for their kindness. I think this is cool. It didn't take a lot out of their day, didn't take money. It was just them being kind, helping someone out. That's something that we can all do, isn't it?
Sure.
I feel like that's how Durban people are, hey?
Do you think it's a Durban thing? No, it could be because you're from there.
No, dude, you'll never find people here in Joburg stopping to help you. You could be dying on the side of the road.
They'll stop to hijack you.
Yeah, exactly. And then drive away.
With your stuff.
Thank you, Google. You did well for Durban tourism for a moment.
Very nice. Good for you. You have the most embarrassing mayor in the world, but Durban is otherwise fine.
That's your Sid by Sia for this morning.
Very good.
I actually saw yesterday in the news there's a Durban city manager who was asking for some sort of a raise. Was it 70,000 or 700,000 rand raise?
That's quite a cheek.
Already earns 2.29 million rands.
Yeah.
That's his total remuneration package. And he was asking for a bit of a boost. And people were like,
sure, who wouldn't?
No, this is not happening.
Just ask for more. I mean, try that with me quickly. I'm your boss. Go on. Let's see how it goes.
Gareth.
Yes. Go. Yes, Sia. Hi.
I would just like to take this moment to discuss some numbers.
Sure, of course. Go ahead, Sia. What's on your mind?
The state of living is really tough. And yes, I think an employee of yours, I really do prove myself.
I know we've rented out your office to a homeless person who's paying us 4,000 rand a month.
Is it possible for me to get 70,000 rands added onto my total remuneration package?
No. Thanks for coming. See, that's how it works.
Worth asking. 69,000 rand, maybe?
You know what? We're negotiable, Sia. Let's start around 1,000 rand. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I just wonder how they justify something
they don't.
Like this.
They just don't have any idea.
How you justify.
Clearly, this is someone who's been plucked from obscurity. They've been earning way too much money for their brain capacity. And now that they think, well, while I'm here, I may as well just go for the kill. Let me try and get some more.
I actually want to find his name now. Oh, yeah. He did want to raise it by 700,000 rands.
A month.
Total remuneration package. Okay. Assume it's per annum. Mm. And
right.
Yeah,
he wanted another 700,000 rand a month.
Yes.
I mean, a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Added already to his
and what's
2 points.
And what has he done? Has he plated Durban in gold? Has he brought 7,000 tourists a day to Durban that weren't coming before? Mm. Has he invigorated the economy? Has he started to stimulate business in the CBD? Has he built a new highway? What's he done?
His name is Siponzuza. Yeah. He's the Etegwini city manager. Do you know him?
No, but the name just sounds greedy.
Nzuza.
Sipo.
Sipo. Would you have a friend at school who was greedy, who was called Sipo?
No, it just sounds greedy. Sipos are normally, you know.
All Sipos.
Yeah, sorry, Sipo.
Sorry, all the Sipos.
As you were.
All right, so go on. Sipo Nzuza, this is a guy. What's he done, Sia?
I swear, you can't just make this shit up. Yeah, so yesterday they all met and it was opposition councillors who ended up having the power to say, you are not getting this at all. The DA Etegwini caucus leader, Nicole Graham, was actually the one who spearheaded all of this, saying, you know what? He is just seeing the opportunity and trying his best to get this raise, but it's not happening at all. He wanted to really push for the maximum total remuneration package for someone in his position, which is 3.9 million rands. That's what he was ultimately gunning for. His current salary is 3.29 million rands.
You know, his current salary is 3.29.
Yes.
Just hang on a second. I need to figure out what this is a month. Mm. 3.29 million, right.
Mind you, his own ANC councillor team.
He's earning 274,000 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Nothing. Zero. He probably sits in that chamber like four times a week and talks shit, tries to get himself a raise. That's what he's already earning, 274,000 rand a month. You know, I think if you're in government, the maximum you should earn, maximum, whether you're the president, city councillor, mayor, municipal manager, minister, bureaucrat, the maximum available to you, maximum should be 100,000 rand a month. And that should be for people who are really doing a great job. Absolute max. In other words, what we'll do is these greedy people who want more than
filter
that.
Filter them out. Mm.
Correct. They'll have to leave.
They need to really want the
they
job.
They
want
to live over 100,000 rand a month, then they'll have to go into the private sector and prove their worth.
Yeah.
There should be a ceiling. There should be an upper limit on what you can earn if you're paid by the state.
Mind you, Sipo is now a state witness in the Zandile Gumede case. And he's part of the whole alleged tender corruption that's
there's no
honor
among thieves.
The IFP pointed out saying, look, like how can you justify your increase here? There's no service delivery. There are these protests happening.
Sia, an important message from Carl for you.
Yeah, bro.
Please tell Sia that it is remuneration and not remuneration.
Remuneration.
Money. Remember money.
I didn't even pick that up.
Yes. No. Well, Carl is a real stickler for
Carl,
this
thank you very much.
Yes.
You tell me if I deserve the dunce hat now.
The dunce hat.
It's like you were saying this earlier this week. The smallest gesture of kindness goes a long way. Say hello to the security guard, the cleaner, and the bank clerk. They are not robots. Yes. That's a very good point. And that comes from Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth, any comments on the exclusive leaked emails that reveal who Ramaphosa's CR17 campaign asked for money on News 24? Mm-hmm. I saw the article, but I must be honest, I didn't read. I don't really care. I know that these politicians are all asking rough and dangerous folks for cash. Politicians have no scum at all. They'll go and ask anybody for money. Mm. And they'll take money from wherever it comes. Arms dealers, drug dealers, illicit cigarette manufacturers. Mm. They don't care. I mean, they don't have any problem with this stuff. So I don't know how to help you on that front, Tato. But if you have something to say about it, why don't you send us a voice note? Play it out. Hey, Gareth, quite a few of my clients have maintenance contracts with Eskom. They've indicated in the last few weeks that orders have almost completely stopped. Considering how little maintenance happened prior, you just know it's even worse now. That's from Sean. Yeah, I don't want to know. I mean, we've made it through winter, but there's bound to be another situation where there's load shedding or worse on the horizon. And I'm not a negative guy and I don't like negative news, so I'm not making this up. I heard a brilliant talk not so long ago by Yelland, Chris Yelland,
mm-hmm.
who basically, he is the expert when it comes to Eskom, and he lays it out for you. He tells you what the future scenario for Eskom is. It's no good. It's just a disaster for them. We must actually get him in here.
Chris Yelland.
Yes.
Okay.
And then someone says it is serotonin, not senitununun from last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. It was the psychiatrist that we had.
Oh, right.
She didn't say senitonin. No, she was calling it serotonin. So she was putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable of serotonin.
Leanne, you point out sometimes the oddest thing. I did not know
the
in all of my
the wrong syllable.
24 syllable. Years that I am pronouncing the band that Steven Tyler heads up incorrectly.
Yes, you were. How did you say it again?
I don't think there's an issue with it. It's Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
You make it sound like it's a person's name.
Do you want me to pronounce
and
it
his
as?
His surname is Smith.
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
It's Aerosmith.
No, not Aerosmith.
I just
Aerosmith.
That's hilarious.
This is how to get Leanne riled
up. Yeah, that psychiatrist was saying serotonin for some reason, and
maybe her lecturer told her that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, but then you have study mates and videos.
So you're saying there's just no excuse?
Well, these days there isn't. You also have the internet. You know, if you grew up in a vacuum before and you just didn't have any access to the rest of the world, like there are obviously different ways to pronounce things in terms of an accent, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pronounce a word wrong because you're just ignorant, that's not an excuse anymore. Like these days you can actually go on the internet and you can actually play the, mm-hmm. you know,
any word.
Like Wikipedia lets you hear how to pronounce a word if you don't know how to say it.
And I don't know.
It's not like some of these words are that long or that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but can I talk about my rendezvous from last night?
Did you have a rendezvous last night?
No.
Okay.
Just wanted to add to that.
What's the there was some movie that's on at the moment that everyone's talking about, and I've just gone blank.
Has it just been released?
Yeah, just recently. I cannot remember for the life of me what it is. Anyway, one other message. Someone says, have you seen those guys from Rustenburg who sing Bohemian Rhapsody? It's like a choir or something. I have not, I'm afraid.
Oh, I saw, I think it's a school somewhere, yes. I saw that link.
Yeah. I love Leanne so much. I'm so happy to hear her on a Wednesday again. Mm. And that is from Nikki. Nikki's very happy about you, Leanne. You guys were talking about the moon cycles yesterday. I encourage Flax to download the app. It's called Moon Cycles. This app is beneficial when it comes to planning my spells and rituals. As a male witch, it is important to align energies with the moon. Isn't that interesting? A male witch.
Sure.
Eddie.
Eddie the witch.
You laugh now. There's
Come
some
on, Eddie.
Odd people who are into
Eddie,
those
do
things.
Do something to Gareth. Send him something.
Eddie, he's a male witch, but he believes in good powers. You see, there are good witches and bad witches.
I like how there's a title that needs to have male in front of it.
It's a male
usually
witch.
You have to say, oh, she's a female pilot.
Yes, correct.
Or, you know, she's a female engineer.
Right.
Mm. Now you have to be a male witch. Otherwise, so not a wizard, in other words.
Not a wizard, no. But is a wizard, that is the direct male correlation to a witch, right? Wizard.
Yes.
Sorry,
in
not
that,
a
in
fair,
that realm. Not in Wiccan.
There was a brilliant prayer that I remember learning as a child. I can't remember who wrote it. And I mean, I didn't say a lot of prayers, but this is one I remember. From witches and wizards and long-tailed buzzards and creeping things that run in hedge bottoms. Good Lord, deliver us.
Simple and straightforward.
What Sunday school did you go to where you were learning that?
Witches and wizards and long-tailed buzzards and creeping things that run in hedge bottoms.
It reminds me of when one of my sisters went through a goth period.
Did she?
God bless my parents for having to deal with all of us. But have you ever seen a black person go through goth?
I have, actually. There were a couple of those when in the 90s when it was still hot.
Yes, do you remember the series Charmed?
Yes.
Yeah.
My sister was so into that book, Charmed. She would use all of her pocket money to buy these random little games. Once she actually ordered a Ouija board. She'd wear black all the time.
She went full on, hey?
She would paint
What's his name? Adrian.
Adrian?
What was his name?
Who? Which Adrian?
No, Mr. Witchcroft.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie.
Well, like Eddie, wouldn't it be fun to have Eddie in here to ask him about his spells and potions?
Hey, I'd be outside.
I'd sit outside as
well. Yeah, me too. I'd be outside of the studio when that happens. And then I'll come in here with Sage afterwards.
You can deal with that.
Well-rounded,
I have no issue at all.
Well-rounded movie, Down With All The Haters, is called Red Sea Diving Resort. I'm sorry? I don't understand. Is that a movie title? Never heard of Red Sea Diving Resort.
No,
I haven't. Resort.
But does it resort? Resort.
Sorry, I had to point that out.
Why did you have to point that out again, Leanne?
Because somebody else will do it before me. I've just realized.
Leanne is the pronunciation police, and Dory in our office is the grammar police.
Have you seen how
I was on my case?
Yeah, she's on your case often, on mine as well. Sometimes I submit like stuff to her to have her check it, and then she'll say, why did you put an apostrophe here?
Oh, drives me mad.
Why did you put this word with a dash and that word there with a bracket?
My worst is when people SMS you and they say, where are you?
W-H-E-R-E space you.
Yes.
Leon, do you need a moment?
Where are you or where are you with an apostrophe?
Yeah, I know. Where you?
Or we here.
We here.
We're here.
Oh, that's awful. I agree. Leon, oh my God.
Last week you actually shared something on your Facebook with so many grammatical errors.
I did.
Yes. Well, you were pointing the errors out. Oh, you said it was annoying you so much.
Jeez. My palms started sweating.
And that's like telling a witch that they're actually,
fake.
Fake witch. Sure.
Look, your palms are clammy now.
Yeah, completely. I got a fright.
All right, when we come back, some news. You know what else? A bit of news.
Leanne, what do you have?
I've got news. I've got news.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Are you guys doing news after this?
Yes. Mm. You know what? We think we might.
I think I actually have, three things that I want to talk about that are so pertinent in the news.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically, I think we'll do all of that and probably some news.
There we go.
This is CliffCentral.com.